for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Wednesday evening service of December the 25th, 2002. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dale Copeland is the minister.
8 year old, he put us on a horse and we'd go 10, 12 miles back out in the woods. But we knowed the woods. And he showed us how to tell sign. He showed us the most moss to be on the north side of the tree, son. You know, he showed us how to tell these directions, so we could tell direction in case we got lost. We could find our way out and things like this. But you know, somebody, that is a truth. You see what I'm saying? And there is a truth. Somebody's lost in the woods. There is a truth what direction they could go to get out. But if they don't know that truth, they'll die lost. You realize a lot of Christians, they've been born of the Spirit. They've had their sins forgiven. They've had the burden lifted off of their back, but they still got a yoke on. And they don't know the truth of how to get it off. You see? Let's go on here. He said, except it fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, I believe it is. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, we read over that real quick, don't we? You realize it said, increase the fruits of your righteousness? Increase the fruits of your righteousness? Is that what it said? Let me read that again. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God don't have any trouble getting money or anything else, mercy or anything else, to us. He don't have no trouble getting the blessing to us. He has trouble getting the blessing through us. Do you understand? My goodness, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He don't have any trouble getting the blessing to us, but it stops right there unless we sow it. It's got to get through us. God's purpose for getting it to us is for the law. Listen, you wouldn't have got it to start with unless somebody had sowed and had gotten an increase that you got. Your seed didn't start with you. My daddy used to say, son, there's a lot of smart men that's in the world before you ever come along. They accomplished a lot before you ever showed up. You're driving on roads that my kids especially. Of course, my dad says, I'll tell you what, son, he's 89 year old. You know, he says, we come into this country on an iron wheel wagon. He said, I'm tough. He said, now I'm just old. He said, I used to say I'm tough, but he said, now I just say I'm old. But anyway, the thing is we drive on roads we didn't build. It'd be hard for you to pay enough taxes in your life to build a mile of road. You realize that? I mean, there's what I'm saying is the blessings that comes our way that we are partaker of. I mean, you couldn't pay enough money to get what it cost. One individual probably couldn't pay enough money to get what it cost to be able to for all the engineering that it took from the time of Ford and all of them up to get a vehicle like you can buy today. No telling how many millions of dollars or billions of dollars of engineering it has cost them to get what you can just go out there and buy for $20,000, $30,000. What I'm saying is, you say, well, that's mine. I'm telling you, there's a whole, the biggest part of that seed was given to you. You see, it come along because somebody else had been sowing. Somebody else had been sowing. And we come along and we get to reap something. And so if we sow mercy, if we give mercy. But here he said he gives seed to the sower. But if it stops with you, the plan of God is cut off. The purpose of God don't reach its, it don't reach. Listen, the body of Christ is going to have to get it together. We're going to have to get our act together. And we're going to have to really quit being so many separate things, because the purpose of sowing seed, one of the main reasons, it's not to just so we can just keep sowing, but it's so that we get the desired result, and we being many are one bread. You realize that, I've said this a lot of times over the years, you can't make bread with whole kernel corn. When you put the heat to that, it just pops. Blows up. And that's what happens to people. When they have not been broken, when they have not been ground up, when they have not lost their identity. Now hear what I'm saying, because you can recognize, you can put a little mark on a kernel of corn. We could, every one of us, hand out a kernel of corn. Matter of fact, I've done this, people put their initials on them. And man, you can identify whose is whose. But you put them in the grinder and try to find yours. You can put the heat to it then, and you know what? You'll make bread. You'll make something edible for somebody else to sustain them so they can sow. See, it's not just the sowing, but it's so that we might receive. The reason for the blessings is so that we might receive strength and the ability to sow, so someone else can eat, so they can sow, so someone else can eat. I'm talking about spiritual things here. And he said, and it will increase the fruit of your righteousness. You know, the Bible said, matter of fact, as I said, God don't have any trouble getting it to us. He has trouble getting it through us. You know what? Most people don't give what is right. Now hear this. They give what's left. That'll catch up with some of you here in a minute. They give the leftovers. They give what's left. They don't give what's right. God's ways are not our ways. And you know what? That ought not be a true statement anymore. With the people of God, that ought to be that God's ways are our ways or God's ways. See, we're quoting a lot of scriptures and things. And as long as we quote that, we ain't going to get God's results. Long as God's ways is not my ways, then I'm not going to get God's results. Right? Think about that a minute. There's several things in here that we sang the song, let the river flow, come Holy Spirit. The Lord dealt with my heart about that some time back. We say, oh Holy Spirit, come, and that's you know what that's doing? That's denying that He has come and is in you. And in our desire to worship and draw closer, we're denying the very truth that is. Sometime we got to understand, we got a lot of vain traditions that's making void the power of God. Until we become aware that He is of a surety in us, He lives in us, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Until we're aware of that, we won't live that way. Till we understand, it's not enough to know it, we got to apply it. We got to live that way, see? You know what? I was telling my wife on the way down here, I said, do you realize, and I was telling the boys, I said, do you realize the faith is a noun? When you say faith, that's a noun. But I said, do you realize it is nothing without action? Now, just stop and think about it. It's kind of like, I know they have horse races here, but let's say we're going to have Brother Glenn said, all right, we're going to have a foot race to the back. But if nobody moved, there wouldn't be no noun. There wouldn't be no race. If somebody don't run, there is nothing. So if faith is a noun, but if somebody don't believe, there is. If somebody don't apply, it says faith without action or works is dead. There is nothing. See, I mean, so we can talk about nouns, we can talk about things, we can talk about the life of God, but if we're not applying it, there's nothing. See, there's nothing. So, Do you realize what causes economical crashes in the economy and stuff is people hoard. And what I mean by that, it's not necessarily just hoarding, but people quit spending. When people quit spending, the economy goes down. That's why they want to encourage, they want to put a little money in somebody's pocket to encourage people to spend. You know, a few years ago, you'd drive, I think it's through Tennessee, we drive the whole length of Tennessee, seemed like 4 or 5 times a year, and that was a long road, but they'd have signs, spend your money in Tennessee, on big billboards, spend your money in Tennessee, help the economy, spend your money in Tennessee. You know, they understood that when people was giving out, it helps businesses continue to operate. It gives other people money to do this. But if people quit, everything starts closing down, don't it? It's that way in the spirit realm. As long as you give out, if you give, I tell the people in the church a lot of times, I said, look, you're only responsible for what God has given you. Now, what does He give you? He's given us all things. Boy, now what we're responsible for? You know, but you know what? If God speaks to my heart, I want people to be free to operate. I think the body, the hand can never lay hold of nothing that the arm won't reach it out there to get, so it can get it. So the whole body has to operate in, and people's got to be willing. And the preacher up here behind the pulpit is not the body. And you know, I'm not afraid of wildfire. I'm afraid of no fire. I don't mind bringing order to disorder if people's trying to do the will of God. You know what I'm saying? But what I really do mind is deadness. No desire to open the service and no one want to do nothing. You know, I don't mind if somebody is trying the Spirit and they miss it. We can get that right and encourage them to try again and to be more sensitive, to hear the Lord. But you know what? It's hard to, I mean, when no one wants to do anything, it's tough. You know, I tell people, I say, look, here's what you're responsible for. Somebody come to me one time and they said, well, when you prophesy, what is it that you, how do you know it's the Lord? And so I began to try to tell this individual, and they said, well, sometimes all I've got is 4 or 5 words. I don't have the whole thing yet. I said, that's all you're responsible for then. You see, we are so proud that we don't want to make a fool out of ourselves. And we're afraid to stand up and say, for the Lord would say unto you that you should or thou shouldest do, that's all you got. That's kind of like me reaching my hand. I can't get a hold of Brother Glenn's hand until my arm gets it to it. And you know what? I tell the people at church, I said, if you obey what God give you, somebody else will jump up and finish it. That's the hand now is reached out, so now it takes a hold. That's how the body, see, we know how a natural body works, but the spiritual body just sits there and looks at one another, and we act like the preacher up here is the whole arm and the whole body, and the hand and everything. And what we have is people just come and sit and fill the pews and hear a message that they don't remember next week. And it takes a long time, it takes a lifetime for people to get a hold of principles that they ought to be living in every day. And we've got to change, if you can hear my heart, I have a desire to find that which will work and not just linger on. You know, be satisfied with some success. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus' way was He always done the will of the Father. He always got it right. Matter of fact, you won't find anybody He prayed for or anybody that come to Him that He didn't heal. Nobody. You want a Christ-centered theology? See, we've been teaching in the principles of healing in our assembly, and I asked them, I said, we can have a Paul's thorn in the flesh theology. We can have a Job suffering theology. Because I had somebody come and say, well, I don't think it's always the will of the Lord for God to heal. Because now Paul left somebody sick one time. So I said, that is a flimsy excuse. Let me tell you something. Paul can miss it, but Jesus never missed it. You want a Paul theology or you want a Jesus theology? I'm going to base my theology on healing on Jesus' ministry. You see what I'm saying? I want to base my theology on casting out devils, on Jesus' ministry. Because you might miss it. I might miss it. Paul might have missed it. I mean, my goodness, we know he missed it with Mark, didn't he? He admitted it. Later, we know him and Barnabas couldn't get along and because of that, and they went other ways. We know he rebuked Peter. We know Peter missed it. He was separated himself from it. They might have missed it, but Jesus didn't miss it. And we need to base our theology, we need to get it Christ-centered. You see? And so when we do that, what we're going to find out to have a Christ-centered theology is he healed everybody. He didn't make excuses or he didn't change. He didn't have respect. He didn't say, well, it's the will of the Lord for healed 9 lepers, but I'm not going to leave this one here unhealed. No, 10 lepers got healed, and he knew before time that 9 of them wasn't going to be thankful. But that's his mercy. And it also showed you his desire to heal. But the church world's come so far from that, we've missed it so far. And now we don't, you know, we're having to learn how to apply the truth that we are learning and get it done. Because God's will is that we have a Christ-centered theology and a Christ way production or producing that which He produced. In other words, we do the works that He did and greater. Ain't that what it said? All right. That's what it says. All right. So, turn with me to Leviticus. How much is on that tape, brother? You know? Okay. I'm trying to hurry. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 30. 26, verse 30. It said this. Nobody likes to talk about this part of things. I believe it's verse 30. I was still looking. No, that's not it. No, that's not it. Okay. I'll go to another one. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We'll start with verse 10. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. I was teaching on stewardship sometime back in the assembly. I taught a series on it for 3 or 4 months. And there's something that said here. It said, bring all the tithe. And in our assembly, we've got a tithe box back there. We've got an offering box back there. And the plate's never passed. Have never been passed. You know, since the church was built that way. And whenever an offering took up as receiving an offering in that way, it was back there. And there were several people in the church, you know, that when they come in and they drop their money in the tithe or their check or this or that, they said, I paid my tithe. Well, because it's thrown in the tithe box, don't mean it's tithe. Now, God, remember what I said? God uses the blessings. Now, I'll tell you what. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. If it bothers you and pains you to hear somebody talk about money, you got it. You got the love of money. If there's a twinge, oh, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. Then that's you've got a little bit of problem with the love of money. I know. I am a. I had the curse broke off of me. I know about it. I mean, I know about the pain of it, and I know what it is to wish somebody wouldn't talk about it. But I found out something. The truth is, and I'm glad I found it out long before I started pastoring, because then I can say I obeyed the truth before I ever started pastoring. See. Because people say, oh, well, yeah, all preachers want, well, they won't like to talk about tithe. No, most people that loves God and most ministry, because of they know how people think, most of them, if they really love God and love people, they don't like to talk about that kind of stuff. It bothers them. It because they know that when they do talk about it, people think, oh, yeah, they just want money. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm not at home, and I ain't want no money. But I'll tell you what I am after here. I'm not after your money, but I'm after your life. I'm after the plan. I'm after getting you to work the plan so the purpose of God can be fulfilled. If it won't work in the natural, it'll never work in the spirit. See, there's a lot of people, they say, well, this is, brother, this is natural. You know, that's spiritual. No, you've got the wrong. Jesus is the Lord of all your life. Not just, you know, He's the Lord of my business affairs. And He's the Lord of, and He's the Lord of my spiritual affairs. He's the Lord of all that I am. But I found out something. The blessings, God uses the blessings as a thermometer for my desire to fulfill the purpose. It's a sure indicator. The blessings will not lie. It is a true thermometer for your desire to fulfill the purpose. If when you balance your checkbook and you've given more things and there's more checks wrote and more money spent for other things than for God, the bottom line tells the story. Now, people say, well, yeah, but what it amounts, I know what the yeah buts are for. I'm not after your money, but as long as you want to hold on to your money, God ain't got it. I know what it is to empty the bank account, what it is to give things away and things lots of money and things like that. Now, you know what? That doesn't mean that God, listen, you got to understand, God wants you to prosper more than you have ever dreamed. Every one of us, most of us in here at least, well, I don't know everybody's financial status or anything like that. I don't know anybody's, I guess. But most of us in here will have to be, God will have to prosper far more than He has thus far for us to ever do all that He wants us to do. You understand what I'm saying? So we're not, God's desire in this law of sowing and reaping was never to take something from somebody and keep them empty. That's not God's desire. There's a plan and a purpose. His desire was never for you to show mercy. And what did He say? He said, talking about a brother going to the law, He said, why don't you just suffer the wrong? Didn't He? Ain't that what He said? When He's talking about going to the law with the unjust people? He said, why don't you, brothers going to law against one another and stuff. He said, this ought not be. Why don't you just suffer the wrong? Well, the desire of God was not that somebody just suffer wrong and stay hurting. But what He was saying was, I will bless you if you'll do it my way. If you'll sow into me for the right reason, I will bless you. You won't be without. You'll be the head before it's over. See? What I'm saying is, the way to get something into your hand is to sow. Now, I know the televisions is full of this, and I know that, you know, they promise you $10,000 if you sow $1,000. Listen, God ain't no slot machine.
Amen.
But what they are doing is they are abusing a true principle.
That's right.
It is the plan of God. But there's more to it than just one little side of it, and we don't have time to get all of the sides. But he said, bring all the tithe. The first thing, if we're going to do anything for God, the first thing that's got to get established is He's the owner. That's why I talk about the tithe, because that's what distinguishes, that's what separates us from God. That's what shows that He's the creator and we're the createe. See? In other words, we are the one beneath. He is the one above in that sense. And it is the tithe because He's reserved it to Himself. If people have robbed God, let me tell you, they'll rob you. Now, He said, bring it all. I like to say it like this. God is in management and the preacher's in sales. And, you know, God controls your next breath. See, I mean, He controls your next day. He controls your next heartbeat. If you want to tick Him off, that's your business. But I don't want to make Him upset. I don't want to get on the wrong side. I don't want God resisting me. See, there's a balance to think. The Bible said He resists the proud. Well, anybody that refuses to give him his when he, the part that he's reserved to himself, when he has blessed us with all the other, that's proud. And he resists the proud. In other words, there's some things here that what it amounts to is the tithe is, I've had people say, well, my goodness, you ought to be glad I even come. What they think is when they finally get to where they give in the tithe, boy, they're doing great. I think I might have shared some of this last year when I was here the last time. If you owed me $100 and you gave it back to me because you owed it to me, or if I give Brother Glenn $100 for Sister Mildred back here, and he took it to her and gave it to her, and he thinks, I have fulfilled, I have done wonderful, God ought to reward me for giving her her money. See, what I'm saying, it belongs to God. It's God's. It's God's. Never was mine. And if I withhold it, I'm a thief. It's quiet in here. The whole tithe. You know what tithe is? It's 10% before anything's taken out. You know, in our church, oh, Brother Cope, I can just hear him say, please don't say that. But you see, you offer that to your governor. You offer what's left to your governor and see if he'll take it. That's the government, ain't it? The government, you know when they want theirs? They want theirs first. That's what the Bible said. Offer it to your governor. See if he'll accept that. See if the governor will do it that way. No, they want theirs first. But see, God is greater than that. Now here's the key. It said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven. You know what? The tithe gets the window open. That's all. You don't even get the blessings open. Because you got to go back up a couple scriptures to get the whole story. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Huh? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you? And he said, in what? And offerings. Now, the tithe gets the window open, but the offerings determine your rate of return. See, you ain't done anything. So many people want to go to heaven, or they want a pat on the back because they give God what is his. That's like I say, if somebody gave me, if Brother Glenn gave me $100 to take back here for somebody, and I took it back there and gave it to them instead of holding it myself, I said, but I got this in my hand. And I withheld what was theirs. That'd make me a thief between here and there. And the tithe never was ours. It always belonged to God. That don't mean you're holy. That don't even mean you love God. It just means you're honest. That's all. That don't give you blessings. That don't do anything. But the offerings is from your heart. In other words, you owed the tithe. God reserved that. But the offerings is from your heart. Now, you've heard the old story about a person was preaching about, said, before the church can run, the church has to crawl. And they said, let the church crawl. You heard that one, haven't you? Said, before it can run, before it can walk, before it can run, it has to walk. Let the church walk. I said, to make the church run, it takes the tithe and offering. People said, let the church crawl. In other words, when we find out something, see, here's the thing. We're all fooling ourselves being here over this holiday time, whether you celebrate Christmas or not. It doesn't make the holiday doesn't mean anything to me. And that's it. But what I'm saying is, time when people's off work and can come. But we're all fooling ourselves if we don't find out who we belong to and why we're occupying planet Earth, and get about the business of taking care of that. You realize during this time of the year, while people say they're honoring God, churches get less money. There's more financial pressure than the whole rest of the year during this time when people saying they're giving things in the name of Jesus. What I'm saying is, when we find out that I don't even live for my purpose. Why? I tell my wife and my children, I say, if we're not going to fulfill the will of God, we're just like beasts. We're just making ourselves comfortable until we die. I said, an animal will do that. They'll get out here and get all they can get. They'll do this, you know, and they'll get, if they can root somebody else out of the way so they can get more, they'll do that. You seen no hog? I mean, man, we raise hogs, and, you know, you get ones big enough to do it, and he just keeps everything knocked out of the way, and he'll just stand at the feeder and eat, and eat, and eat, and eat for themselves. But there's no reason to live. There's no, unless you're just going to put yourself on the level of animals, there is no reason for being if we're not going to fulfill the purpose of God. I mean, this thing's got to get where we live. Our reason for living. Why I get up on Monday mornings. You know, why I go to bed at night is for the glory of God. I've said a lot of times, a lot of people, you know, I said, I get up in heavenly places and I go to bed in heavenly places. Because I'm seated with Him where He's at. And that ain't way off over yonder a million miles somewhere. The Bible said I'm seated with Him. The Word of God says that. And He's in me. And where He, you know where He's seated? At the right hand of the Father. And I'm seated with Him. That ain't symbolically. That's not theoretically. It's not mentally. That's not something. That is reality. And until we get a hold of that reality, we won't apply it. And first we got to know it. And then we got to apply it. I'm telling you something. We are way beneath our means. I've said so many times, we got a big God out there, but we got a little one in here. Everybody's got a big God over yonder. He's a great big God. You hear these television preachers talk about these, you know, these visions or whatever they have, and said, "Oh, the lights and God is so big, and they of a throne and all this kind of stuff." The God that is in you, and you know what? Really, that just disappoints a lot of people. I shared with you before, I think. I'll never forget it. The individual, I was talking to a person about the things of God and the kingdom of God and Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that heaven wasn't our hope, that Christ in us was our hope. And that glory wasn't a place over yonder. It's something that's to be revealed in us. And in frustration, he says, "You ain't left me no hope in nothing but God. Like, I hate you. You took everything away, and all you've left me is God." And I'm not, what he was saying is, I'm not happy with that. You know, you really feel sorry for somebody if their only hope is God, huh? Well, I'm telling you something, religion has taught us to hope in other things. See, religion has taught us to hope in all kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, the only way to make this thing work is to get a hold of the stewardship that we have. And understand that we are stewards, and we're here to bring about the purpose. Shall a man rob God? You know, I ask that question. Let me ask it like this. Shall a man, a mere man, rob God? Who do you think we are? You know, when we fail to do what God expects us to do, we rob God of the glory that He would get from doing great things for us. See, it's not just the money. It's not just the time. I'm talking about tithe of whatever, of all of our increase. What God has blessed us with, we ought to tithe our time to God. I mean, you think you ain't got time? What if you just quit breathing? You know, I've talked to people before, and I said, you ought to tithe your time to God. You ought to give some time to God. Well, I would, Brother Dale, but, you know, I am so busy. Next week, you know, they were sick and in the hospital bed, and I said, you got time now? They were so busy, but now they ain't got time to do nothing but lay there. I'm telling you something. Our life is not our own. That's the whole thought of this. Our life is not our own. We are stewards of God. There is a plan of God to work the purpose of God and God's purpose. We are here for a purpose. That's why He made us a steward. And He wants to see Himself. That's why He made us in His image and likeness. See, He made us in His image and likeness. He didn't need another God. He didn't need something. But he wanted to see himself because he is spirit. And so he wanted to see himself in a natural realm. So he made man in his image and likeness. That doesn't mean in physical form. We all look different. We're recognizable by our face and our different forms and shapes and things of that nature. But it's talking about in his nature, in his character, in his likeness. Shall a man rob God? When we rob God, we're robbing him of the glory that he would get from blessing us. We're robbing him of the glory that he would get from others by them giving him glory and praise. When we rob God, we're giving him more than just money. We're giving him glory as God. See, it's really, God wasn't after their money. He was after their heart. And what he told them there, he said that their hearts, he said, "You're return to me and I will return to you." The problem was they had left him. Their heart had left him. God's after our hearts. When, you know, I'm telling you something, there ain't nobody, I have never, we've been through hard things, but I have never yet, along with David, seen God's seed begging bread. I ain't never saw it. I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken. When we was at our lowest point, we probably had 100 places we could go. We had mothers and fathers 100-fold. People, ministry had come because they seen a place that we moved into it willingly. We didn't have to. We had a good bed. It wasn't that we was for. We moved into it. But when certain ministry came, one man broke down and started crying and said, "Please let me take you home with me and get you out of this place." I said, "But this place is the place God sent me." He said, I've got a nice house. I'll let you have it. I'll let you live in it. Let you move there. You can come help me in the ministry." And he felt sorry for me because from outward appearance, it was poverty stricken. And I felt sorry for him because he thought the natural things was the important thing. See, I'm telling you something. There's a treasure. You know what? God will never leave you on the bottom very long. We're not on the bottom now. See, I mean, but you know what? We didn't do anything to get on the top except just follow the plan. Just work the plan. Love God first. I mean, there's many times we get $25. That's all we get in the tithing. And I'd take that tithing check and I'd put it over in the offering basket. Be millionaires if we had back what we'd given to the Lord. But my heart, I'm telling you something. I realized I had 3 heart attacks 20 years ago. I realized, I mean, I was getting in my pickup, and when I come to, I was laying across the seat and part of me was outside. I realized that my life is not mine. That I didn't control, really, I didn't control much of anything. That God is the author and the finisher. And if I'm not going to do it with His way, if I'm not going to live for His purpose, then what obligation would He have to keep me around? What obligation would He have to keep me, giving me something for His increase? Lots of people, I'm telling you something, there's a principle here. God has a purpose. Purpose is greater than plan. The reason for a plan is the purpose. But the plan has to be worked to bring about the purpose. That's really all I'm saying. And you know what? We're going to have to first understand the purpose. We can get into that at another time. The purpose of God and really put it into Scriptures and find out that God has a very specific purpose for His glory. It's going to be a straight line. God don't do this. See, I mean, He don't wave back and forth or waver. It's going to be a straight line. You're going to find out what He started, He'll finish. What He started in Genesis chapter 1, and the reason He started it, He's going to have it. And the counsel of God will stand. That's the bottom line. The counsel of God will stand. And so I encourage you. There's a lot of good things that touches our heart, that touches our emotions, that ain't of God. They're religious. What I'm saying is they won't stand up under scrutiny in the book. If it won't stand up under scrutiny in the book, why would I embrace it? I embraced things, lots of things at one time because I was taught to. I didn't know any better.
Right.
But the thing is I've been building and God's been building in my life, but I am aware. I've told my family, I've told our church, I said, I'm telling you something. There's truths yet to be known that we're not going to like when we first hear them. We're going to reject them. We're going to do just like God told me one time. I was walking through the woods and I was meditating on the scripture of the wine. It says, no man at first desireth the new wine. He saith the old is better. And I was talking to the Lord. I was walking through the woods and I was praying. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, what I was really telling him is, Lord, that's not me. If you just tell me, I'll love it. If you'll just show me, I'll take it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, I said, no man. And I've certainly had opportunity for that to be proved. When you hear something you don't agree with, many things that I teach today, when I first heard it, I didn't like it. Matter of fact, some things I wrestled hard with. I sat and had a precious dear brother that's passed away now, but he would share things with me, and I'd argue with him, and boy, he'd get red-faced, and I'd get red-faced. But we loved each other. But boy, I tell you what, he'd say something. I'd say, that ain't the way, that can't be. I know that if it was that way, I'd been preaching it wrong, and I was going to have to get it right. And two or three weeks later, see, here's the thing. It don't bother me if people get upset. They're thinking. I used to tell the church, I don't care if you get happy or if you get mad. But get one of them. Don't just stay in the middle. Get one of them because I know you'll think about it when you go home then. You see. But the thing is, if you love the truth, two or three weeks later, the Lord would speak to me. I'd be studying on this. You know, man, this just eat me alive because I'd heard something. It disagreed with me. I didn't like it. But I wanted to prove it to whether it be true or not. Because I love the truth. And two or three weeks later, the Lord speak to my heart and say, and just open my eyes. And I say, well, I'll be. Lord, I have to repent. And go tell him, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the spirit that I had or whatever, the Lord has revealed it to me. I see it. But you know what? You can't see what God ain't revealed. But the thing is, you've got to be available, don't you? Lord bless you. It's a privilege to be here. I hope you receive something. There's a plan, but the purpose is greater than the plan. But the purpose will never work until the plan. The purpose will never come about until the plan is worked. And that's a principle of sowing and reaping. If you want God, you got to seek Him. That's you're sowing your life, and the reward, the harvest of that is you find Him. And I guarantee you. You find more than you sowed. You sowed you and you found God. You find more than you sow. Boy, that's a great plan, isn't it? Let's dedicate our hearts, our minds. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I'm in a place right now, spiritually speaking. I'm in a place of... I know God is trying to speak to our hearts and He's trying to teach me some things. I don't know what all steps that we're going to have to take, but I'm ready to take them if I know my heart. I'm wanting to take them. I'm wanting to hear so that I can work through that process and receive. Because I know I love God. I may not first desire what I hear, but I know I love God, and I'll work through the process, and we'll come to truth, won't we? But there's a desire in your heart. You wouldn't be here this time of year, this cold. There's a desire in your heart to go farther than we've ever been before. And I'm telling you something, we're way behind. And it's time for us to start running some extra laps, so to speak, to catch up. Because we're beneath our privileges, we're way behind. And we're going to have an honest heart that calls out on God. And ask for His mercy to teach us and to show us, and even His grace that we are saved by, the divine influence of God is His great mercy upon us to give us His influence. It's the mercy of God that He will influence your heart. And he's influenced my heart to desire to run after him. And he's influenced your heart. And I'll tell you something. Don't be quick to knock things down that you hear unless they're just contrary to Jesus. Because many things that I've shook my head, that's heathenistic. Because it was with my concept. And now I believe it, and I embrace it. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you richly.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.